I guess, Barb, if you're not going to preach, I'm going to. I'm going to preach a little about Dwayne giving chocolates to my wife. It's okay, Dwayne. Actually, you're free to give it to her anytime because you know she's going to share it with me. Oh, now she's having to explain it. Some things don't have to be explained, honey. You're a pretty girl. Dwayne's a man. I'm a pastor, so I have to forgive. I mean, he's a smart man. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This one sheet comes from a book of, I don't know whose it is. It's a different people, but there were a couple of prayers that I wanted to give you. Did y'all get that? God's your true friend and will always give you counsel. And then the other one's a prayer of surrender to my God. And you know, we need to surrender regularly to God. We don't get saved over and over, but we surrender over and over. And those happen to come up because I had a guy in jail. You love my jail stories, right? But I had a guy in jail that he said, I don't understand. He said he could see why Jesus died, but why did he raise him up? I said, so you could have a living Savior. And then he's sitting there and he's telling me, basically, he's telling me that God brought him there that day so that he would do what he's been knowing he should do. What do I do when I feel bad about taking $5 from my mom's purse? What do I do when I feel bad? What do I do when I feel bad? What do I do when I feel bad? I said, well, that what you're doing is looking for something to do with when you feel bad. And when you feel bad, you can take it to Jesus. And so you need to take Jesus into your heart. So I explained to him what he could do. I explained to him what he needed to do. And God is so faithful because one of the guys that was in his pod was just sitting there, and I knew this was an answer to his prayers. And so I told him, I said, I'm going to tell you, we're going to pray, but this guy's going to walk you through it. See, that's what we do here. The Lord speaks to you. Sometimes he speaks to you what I say, and sometimes what he speaks to you has nothing to do with what I said, but it's what God wants you to get. You know? I have to tell you, Billy, that I went back and listened to last week's message again because you told me about something that God said. Well, God said to you something that was never in that message. I said, oh God, that's good. The Lord speaks. And, you know, I mean, that happens all the time. All the time. I can sit and listen to somebody on the TV. I can listen to Dutch Sheets with him. Give him 15, and he'll be doing his give him 15, and God will be giving me 4 hours. Because God's got a plan. When we were singing at the end there, and I was saying, take it all, well, earlier in the morning, something had come to my mind, and then it just really came. If anybody ever listened to Sha Na Na, take out the papers and the trash. Doom, 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 doom. Well, you see, we have stuff. We have stuff. We have stuff. Trash. Take out the papers and the trash. I got stacks in my office that my wife says are trash. And there probably are, but I have to sort through them before they officially become trash. And she thinks, why don't you just sort through them then? And I say, I do. Sometimes. She's shaking her head. No, she's disagreeing with me. worse than a dripping faucet. I'm just kidding. She's always right. It's just best if I leave it at that. Yesterday, she said, what do you have planned, honey? Here's the deal. Planning is not my biggest forte. I have thoughts, and then I pick my favorite thoughts. But, you know, to me, that's just kind of like, what are you planning? It's like, why do I have to have a plan? Or somebody says, well, what are you doing today? Oh, no, I'm under pressure. What if I'm doing nothing? But with the Lord, even when I'm doing nothing, I might be accomplishing more than ever because my thoughts are on Him if I'm not doing anything else. But yesterday she said, what are you planning? And then she got that sweet look, and I knew she had a plan. She said, you already told them. I have a honey-do for you. I want to get the curtains up. I said, honey, I wanted to do that months ago. But you didn't want to do it that day. So it went off my list. But we did it. We did it. And it's done. And it was worth it because she was so happy. Now, whether she'll say it was worth the wait or not, I don't know. But I did it. I got it done. And she's a smart woman. She isn't going to say, I got tired of waiting, because she knows that if she says she got tired of waiting, the next honeydew could take years. Not really. I don't wait that long, and sometimes I can do them right away, you know. And sometimes I have to say to myself, take out the trash. You know? I don't need to be stubborn. I don't need to be, you know, unruly. I don't need to make her suffer. I actually started doing it when she wasn't sure I was going to get it done, but she did everything to make sure that I would. Because I was gone for a little bit. When I came back, just kind of randomly, there was this box of stuff from the curtains sticking out from the place it was hidden. And she says, well, I was just dusting. Well, if you weren't hinting, you'd have stuck that back in there, because you don't leave things just unrulily messing around out there. I'm not stupid. I've been married to you a long time. I don't care. You don't try to make yourself look good in front of these people. They like you. Just stop. Oh, no, I have the microphone, honey. No, I'm a pretty controlled burn. Deep thinker. No. We have a walk with God that just will take care of everything. And because of Him, I would never just skip a honeydew. Because God tells me I need to love my wife. And so if I don't want to love my wife, then take out the trash, Roger. I don't care whether you want to or not. It's just the way things are. When I was growing up, as I said in the devotional, you know, my mom would say, take out the trash. And sometimes I took out the trash right away, but sometimes I was a very busy young boy. It didn't bother my mother to remind me, take out the trash. It didn't bother my mother to pile rugs on the back porch, on the step, for me to shake. I don't believe she ever piled them there on purpose so that I would trip over them to take out the trash. But if I waited too long for the trash, it could happen. I was told to do things. After I was grown up, and pretty much, well, at least out of the stage where she was going to make me sit on the porch, because we had a screened-in porch. Then they closed in the porch and made the kitchen bigger. No wonder they never had any more children, because they wouldn't have had a place for them to sit growing up. But that was just the way that it was. Now, I'm older now, and I understand that it was good for me that I had chores to do. Whether I liked it or not, I had chores to do. We have commands from God. We have conditions from God that are ours, whether we really like them or not, because they aren't always easy to entreat. But they have a good taste when they're done. The Lord says in Galatians, but God's Spirit, and this is the easy translation, but it's a good way because it says God's Spirit causes us to live a different way. One way or another, we will conform. Because he is diligent, just like my mother, Roger, take out the trash. Roger, take out the trash. Roger, shake the rugs. Roger, dust the furniture. These are just some things that Roger was supposed to do, and Roger would need to get it done eventually, especially if Mother started thinking about letting Dad know. And Dad didn't have a lot that he demanded, but the yard needed to be mowed. One of these days, within a certain amount of time here, I'm going to be done mowing that yard. But I have been mowing it forever without Dad's influence. But when I was a kid, he would just simply say, you're not going swimming till the yard is mowed. Which took me out, start that thing, and I would literally sprint the yard. Up and down and up and down. And I better not miss anything. And the blade better be sharp or you never know that I mowed it. But when Dad said, you better mow or you're not going to go swimming, I better not show up at the swimming pool with the grass still tall. And so I did that. But I learned obedience. I did not learn perfect obedience. But I learned obedience. And obedience is a good thing. And the Holy Spirit causes us to live a different way. The Holy Spirit is patient and kind, and he's great at just reminding us, but he causes us to live a different way. We love other people. Even maybe if they aren't so easy to love. He can convince us that it would be in our best interest to love. Now, we aren't going to hug and kiss every person that we love, but we're going to at least quit hating them. You know, some people, if you just don't hate them, it's almost like loving them. Did you hear her? She just said, mm-hmm. Does that mean? Oh, I see. I thought that meant that I'm in trouble. No, she has to overcome that. But we love people. We're happy and we have peace on our minds. We're happy and we have peace on our minds. We are happy and we have peace on our minds. It's worth it to take the shovel and find, I'm happy. I'm so happy, so very happy. Sometimes, you know, like Michael will kind of growl or something, and I will sing, oh, happy day. No happy day! Oh, happy day. And Vicky will be saying, Roger, don't do that to him. When Jesus was, he washed my sins. I said, no happy day! But you know what? It's there. It's there. It's there because it might be an hour later. It might be sooner than that. Maybe he will put on a Alexa, tell Dad I'm sorry. Or he'll call Mom. Mom will get a call on the hotline, tell Dad I'm sorry. Or if I'm sitting at my computer, he might come out and say, your son is sorry. Are you sorry, Michael? No, your son is. You just never know what his source is, you know? But it's there. And so the Word of God says, we are happy. We are happy. We are. We just got to get it up. You know, it's like if your toilet just keeps flushing and flushing and flushing, sometimes you got to take the lid off and adjust it so it'll fill up. But there's still a little in the bottom. Well, maybe you don't feel so happy, but there's some there. Why? Because Christ is in us. Christ is in us. And it's worth the effort to dig through the trash to get to the Christ that's in us. Doesn't matter how full the trash is, he never says we're worthless. You're happy. You're happy. And you got peace on your mind. Even when you aren't feeling peaceful, you have peace on your mind because you have the mind of Christ. That's what he says. We have to choose to live by what he says. I choose God. I choose God. I choose God. And because I choose God, then I'm a blessed man. I am so fortunate. See, the Bible is another place where it talks about, you know, how can it be that out of the same mouth flows love for God and hate for somebody else? You know, we have a fork in the road. But it ought not be. That's just what the Bible shouldn't be. So I should recognize that can't be. That just can't be. So I got to stop the flow of one or the other. I got to take out the trash. It's a different way. It's different. It's different. It's different. It's a different way than we lived before. And it's so good when we consider our ways. Do you know that before we knew Jesus, oh, once in a while, this guy said, you know, well, sometimes I feel bad. He was considering his ways. He was at the conviction part of things. All he needed to do, well, he needed to understand it. I said, you don't have to understand it, just do it. You don't have to get it to be perfect sense. Just do what he says. You got to get in. You don't stand outside of somebody's car in a blizzard and try to explain to me how the heater works. I just don't get how the heater works. You know, when they first came out with heat pumps, I don't get it. How does it make heat when it's 20 below? I mean, it used to be it could only get to be about 5 degrees, but now it can get 20 below in our heat pump. I don't just leave it unplugged. I wouldn't dare. I'd be in trouble. But, you know, it's like I don't get up and I don't understand how that works. I'm not going to use it again until I see how it works. I'm going to understand how it works, so shut it off until I understand how it works. Wouldn't you like to be there? Yeah. Read the manual, but don't touch my remote. You want to talk about men and their remotes? I'm going to talk to you about Vicky's remote on the heating and cooling system. She knows how it works. And when I questioned the temperature, she said, Roger, I read it. You don't go by the temperature on the thing. You go by how it feels. And this feels good to me. Well, honey, we want you to feel good. It don't matter how much it costs for you to feel good. That's right. She agrees with me. See, she always agrees with me when I'm right. Or when I'm talking right. When I'm saying the right things. Oh, Lord, do you hear that? Do you hear the Holy Spirit saying, you're the same way? You always agree with the Word of God when it's saying what you want it to say. But what happens when it comes crossways with what you want? Oh, it makes a cross. Go to the cross. We are patient. We are kind. and we are good. It's in there. Remember, it's in there. It doesn't matter if you want to be patient. It doesn't matter if you're thinking, oh, I want to be kind. It doesn't matter, you know. It doesn't matter if you're not thinking, I want to be good. It doesn't matter what you're thinking. It's there. That's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit's there to remind us, we got this. There's nothing wrong with being reminded by the Holy Spirit. It doesn't make you a failure if you need to be reminded by the Holy Spirit. It makes you a failure if you say, I don't care what God says. I'm going to do what I want. I don't care if Dad wants me to mow the yard or not. I can go swimming if I want to. If he saw my bicycle and I was so foolish as to ride past the store where he worked rather than taking a back way, and I was riding past the store too quickly to have possibly mowed the yard, I'm going to tell you, my dad was a great, great guy. But he would not stand in the store and say, oh, that Rod. He'd step out the door and he'd, I won't do this because it'll blow your ears, whistle. And when my dad whistled, the world stopped. And he must have had a little Jesus in him even then, because his whistle, you know, Jesus sat in a boat and preached to multitudes. How did he do that? How could my dad's whistle go from our house to the park, the furthest away from home? But it could. It could. I still answer to whistles that aren't my dad. And my kids say that too. They hear somebody whistle, they're looking for me. They're responding to the whistle. God, the Holy Spirit, sometimes whistles. We're reminded. Now, when he is so kind as to remind us, isn't it beneficial for us to stop? Just stop and think. See, he's not going to take. He will not take out the trash for us. But he'll identify it. He's not taking. He don't have to take out the trash. He's God. But we can take it out real easy. It's no big deal to take out the trash. No big deal whatsoever. It's just that we have to fight the good fight and go, you know what, it's right. It's right. It doesn't have to start stinking before you take it out. You can take it out. Now, I do not like to take out the trash until the bag is full. Those things cost like 13 cents, and I'm not going to waste the space. And since our trash can is not really the proper form for our trash bags, there's still room in our trash bag once I take it out of the can. And my wife is so good to me that she will allow me, I pull it out, I shake it down, and I set it by the back door so I can put more stuff in it. And she tolerates that, sort of. Sometimes it disappears and it goes into the dumpster when I'm not around to watch it. And other times she will start running and scurrying to get enough trash to make it full enough so that I will take it out. Now, I know that that's foolishness. I know it is. But isn't it foolishness for us to let the bag get full and stinking before we'll take it out? Adding to it, you know? I mean, because if we don't take care of it right away, guess what? We can add to it. We can make the mistake of thinking all those other things that aren't ours to say or think, but we're thinking them, but we're controlling them, and we're controlling them, and we're doing real good, and then the trash bag breaks. And we got a mess that we got to pick up. When the Holy Spirit is saying, it's well. We got this. Because we're patient and we're kind and we're good. And look at this. People can trust us to do what is right. You know that if you happen to not be a hiding Christian, but rather a happy with Jesus Christian, that people expect you to do what's right. They expect you to behave a certain way. They expect you to talk a certain way. And they're just waiting for the opportunity to say, I thought you were a Christian. Oh, do Christians act like that? Well, unfortunately, they can. Just wait a second. Let me get this trash picked up. I'll make it up for you. But people can trust us. God will remind us, you know, people are expecting. And he doesn't expect us to say back, I don't care what people are expecting. They got it coming. Nah. Because we got all this. We respect other people and we rule ourselves properly. Nobody else is going to rule you, including God or the Holy Spirit. Not going to force you. No. We can rule ourselves. How can we rule ourselves? Because the Holy Spirit causes us to live a different way. That's not me anymore. Old things have passed away. I am a new creature in Christ. We should be so determined with that that sometimes we surprise ourselves. What's that? That must be God. I always encourage the guys and the gals in jail, look, when you consider your ways, rejoice. That's got to be God. I told you back a couple of weeks ago about one of the guys that would come into the pod, and he was just a trash mouth. Telling me how he was studying the Bible. Telling me how he was loving the Lord, you know. And God just spoke to him. As we talked about how, really, the Holy Spirit causes us to live differently. Do you know that that young man has not used any word, let alone the F-bomb? Since that day. And his countenance has changed even more. He's got court on Tuesday, and we just pray for him right now in Jesus' name for favor. Because he's planning to come for coffee. But you know, God doesn't make us do anything, but the Holy Spirit reminds us. God's Spirit helps us to live in that way. We are in a world right now that seriously needs us to live that way. And we are in a world right now where even though this says there's no law that says these things are wrong, there's people that want to make it a law for us to live this way. Against us living this way. People that will say Christians are like terrorists. Are you serious? I mean, really, how could they be so stupid and still breathe? And I have to remember when I'm thinking that, and God loves them? In my worst, I would never have been that stupid, but God loved me. They just don't know any better. They really don't. They really don't. You know, my prayer is that one day they'll hear a tape of that and they'll think, how could have I been so stupid? I have a lot of thoughts come in, a lot of memories that come in, and I'm thinking, how could have I been so stupid? How could have I? Well, Paul said, I was just ignorant. I just didn't know any better. And the Holy Spirit says, but now you do, Roger. Now you do. Don't be satisfied, Roger, if you get just part of it right. Get it all right. Don't be satisfied like the young man that was telling me, well, yeah, but what do I do with it? Trash it. I said to him, you need to flush it. Let it go. Let it go. But it's got to be flushed into the sea of forgetfulness. See, we're in a lifelong process of being comfortable with Jesus. We're comfortable with him, and the closer you get to him, the more convicted you become that you need to be closer to him. But it's not a condemnation type of a closeness. It's like a, oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. It's like when I yell for Mia to come back, she can tell by the tone whether it's a come back happy or if it's a you've been out too long. And she sort of knows what it'll be like when she gets back, but she's not positive what it's like when she gets back. So she'll weave around the house, she'll come in from another way, and then she'll sit on the step like, what's it going to be like? And I say, good girl, Mia. And she's all happy. She was just waiting to be happy. She doesn't go, maybe you're going to forgive me, but I'm mad. You spoke badly to me. Have you ever reminded someone else what they're doing and the Holy Spirit says to you, you just did it too? You have. I'm not all by myself. Praise the Lord. Isn't that just fun? Isn't that just fun when you absolutely know somebody else has blown it, and as you're saying it, God says, and you? All better now. Because God's Spirit causes us to live a different way. He doesn't give up on us. And we shouldn't give up on our determination. We should just live a different way. Casting down those imaginations that exalt themselves against what we know God has already said about us. Barb told me that she was going to be 80. And then she reminded herself, I'm only 78. Exactly! But you see, the enemy comes and he'll try like, well, you won't live to be 80. That's scary when you're 78. If he told me that when I was 25, I'd have said, absolutely, I won't live to be 80. I've been rejoicing over making it past 21, you know. Not really. Didn't even appreciate what we had. But if we outsmart him on that one and say, hey, it don't matter to me, I'm going to heaven, then he'll try a different tactic. Yeah. I'm going to make your life miserable till you do die. You know? And we need to say to him, you can't, because I got Jesus. You don't want to agree and say, well, I got to admit you're doing a pretty good job. No, no, no. Don't comply with the enemy. Cast down those imaginations. Catch those things. Recognize the trash. Dump it out. What have I got here? Vicki asked me yesterday, can I throw out that thing that's in the bathroom? It's got some old tissue on it. And I go, what are we talking about? I went in, I looked, well, hey, that skin that has come off of my gums, and I was saving it to show the dentist to prove to him that it's happened. Yeah, that's gross, eh? Well, I told him about it when I was at the dentist. I said, it feels like all the time I'm just getting popcorn husks out of my mouth. And they said, well, I don't see anything. So I finally called him and I said, you know, when I was there, she said she was going to prescribe something for that, and I never got no prescription. Oh! So they got me a prescription for a bottle. It's magic something, wasn't it? It numbed my mouth. It reminded me, well, it doesn't matter. We'll leave that out. But anyway, you know, but it didn't work. Well, if it doesn't work, she would like to see you. I'll bet she would. She didn't say, I'll see you for free. Even when everything doesn't work out right, the Holy Spirit causes us to live a different way. And it's so good. It's so good. It's so good even when we find ourselves very much out of the different way we're supposed to be, it's so good to know we can just get there. Because the Holy Spirit's getting there. Getting us there. Jesus said, go into all the world. Show them the good news. Because while you're doing that, you're living large. I'm so glad I can live a different way. All because of Him. All because of Him. And so we give Him thanks, and we give Him praise, and we give Him glory, and we give Him honor. Then we start over with giving Him thanks, and giving Him praise, and giving Him glory, and giving Him honor. When we begin to thank the Lord, the other things fall away. Amen. I thank you, Lord, that you have given me way more. God is your true friend, and He will always give you counsel and the comfort that you need. Don't resist Him. Learn to listen to Him in silence so that you won't miss a word that He says to you. You know a lot about outward silence, but little about inward silence. You must practice quieting your restless imagination. Stop listening to your unrenewed mind and the kind of logic it has. Get used to becoming to God and asking Him for help when He asks you for something you are afraid to give. Your sensitivity to the smallest affairs shows how much you need God to tear the things of the world from you. You are making great progress when you begin to give God all the childish attitudes that you have, and you let Him deal with the small problems in your life. You need not make a deep show of spirituality. Just let God work in your everyday issues. You can die to yourself in the course of your everyday life. You don't need to go out into the desert or some high mountain to be spiritual. All God asks of you is to give Him what He directs you to. To do this, you must watch and pray. Cultivate trust in God. And your vanity or curiosity, not your vanity, your curiosity, or your lazy nature. Cultivate trusting in the Lord. Lord, thank you. Thank you that you are making us fallow ground. Thank you that we have seeds in us that cause us to live a different way. Thank you for the joy of living a different way. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.